So happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Lift up your hands for a moment in the presence of God. Just lift up your hands as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person in this room that they would tangibly feel your presence right now. That God, that in this place, in the midst of any circumstance, any reports, any news that any of us have had this week, that they would know tangibly that they're in the presence of God right now. And that God, anything that we bring to you, you hear us. That God, you're willing and you're able to save us. That God, those of us who need to be encouraged, that you would encourage us today in your word. That those of us who are coming from victory, Lord, that you would sustain us so we could go from victory to victory to victory. That those of us that need a miracle, that faith would rise in our hearts today, so that this morning we would have the faith to ask you to restore our marriages, God, to restore our relationships, God, to heal our bodies, God, to deliver us from shame and from bitterness, God. That every single person in this place would either get to victory or go from victory to victory. But God, we know that victory is your plan for each and every one of us. And so God, now we give you a shout of praise. God, as we usher in a victory in our lives, a victory in our families, a victory in our relationships, a victory in our church, in Jesus' name. Come on, church, give the Lord a shout of praise as you usher in a victory in Jesus' name. This is how we fight our battles, amen. In praise, in worship, in the presence of Almighty God, amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Do you believe that? Fantastic. You bet. I say it every week. Every week. Any other story about God is a lie from the devil. Any other story. Someone says that God's just a mean man with a magnifying glass. That's a lie. It comes from the devil. Does God not really want you to have? That's what he said to Adam and Eve, right? Does God not really want? No, God wants to bless you. God wants to revive you. God wants to help you. God wants to heal you. Amen. We just need to position ourselves in the place where God said it's coming in Jesus' name. So good to be in church with you today. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. And I am so glad that you're here. Welcome to church. Can we give all the new people a big welcome to church right now? After the service, if you could just run out the double doors down the back there, and we've got a team of people waiting to give you a welcome bag. Just really great stuff in there. We don't give people trash. We give you t-shirts, two t-shirts, a journal, a notepad. I think that's the same thing actually, isn't it? And whatever. Lots of great stuff in there, so go grab that after the service. But right now, high five your neighbor and say brace yourself. Isn't God good? Hey, can we just honor our band right now? Just say thanks for leading us in worship today. Love you guys. Love your servant hearts. God bless you. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 to 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons, and right now you know this is getting serious, right? Because mum's come to town. Mum's come in to fight for her boys right here. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons comes to Jesus with her sons. Kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked her. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine would sit at your right hand and that the other would sit at your left hand in your kingdom. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Jesus turning to the boys. Come on. Jesus knew who was really asking today. Yeah. Jesus turning to the boys says, you two don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink? And the boys answer, we can. Come on, someone say, we can. And they were right. And you'll see later on, they were right. And they did. Jesus said, Surely you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the other 10 disciples heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Isn't it amazing how we can get so sidetracked by someone else's promotion that we get indignant and angry, right? So sidetracked by someone else's blessing that now we're just mad. Instead of being happy that they got one, we're mad that we didn't, right? Come on. And when they find out what this blessing was, they might not be so excited later on, yeah? When the other 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. So Jesus called them all together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them, and the high officials, they exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, whoever wants to become great among you must first be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must first be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Come on, this is a great scripture right here. Let's start out talking about how they got mum to do their dirty work though. Right? Come on. If you're new at church, by the way, I like to preach to people who participate in the sermon with me, all right? See, at Eternity Church, we don't come to church just to watch someone preach. We come to participate in the Word of God. So if it's good, let me know and I'll keep preaching for you, all right? Now, I love that these boys are like, yo, mum, we want to be great. We want a promotion. And we know that Jesus is super nice to widows and mothers and orphans. And he even talks about taking special care of them. So tomorrow when we're all hanging out with Jesus, how about you go ask Jesus as our mama to give us a promotion? And mum's like, yeah, boys, I got your back. Who's my special little boys? Come to mama for a tickle. Come on, come to mama. So mama goes over to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I'm James and John's mum. You might have heard about me. I hear pretty great things about you and the ministry. It's going real good, I hear. Now, my boys have been working for you for a while, and I was thinking, my boys are pretty great. This is totally of my own accord. They didn't put me up to this, all right? I'm just thinking out loud here, Jesus. But I reckon that it'd be really good and it would help them to stay motivated at this whole disciple and miracle thing that you've got going. If you know, if you gave them a promotion, I reckon it would work better for you. Does this remind anyone else of Beverly Goldberg? Yeah? Anyone seen the Goldbergs? A sitcom set in the 80s with an absolutely overbearing smother. Yeah. She gets involved in everything. She's over-involved. Every time she comes to school, the school principal wets his pants. He's like, oh no, Beverly Goldberg is here again. Right? I'm in trouble, right? She's here. And every time she comes around, she's like, look at my little schmoopy. You know, like, her boys are the best things in the world. And that's exactly what James and John's mama is doing right here. Look at my little schmoopies. Give them a promotion, Jesus. Jesus turns to them and says, boys, I don't know that you understand the weight of what you're asking for. Can you drink from the cup that I'm drinking from? And they say, yes, we can. Now, you got to hand it to these boys because they were willing to drink from the cup. They must have understood what the cup was because, in fact, later on in lives, they did drink from that cup. See, the cup meant a couple of things. It was a little nod to communion. It was a little nod to the cup of vinegar that Jesus was given when he was on the cross. It was a little nod to the death that Jesus would endure for the sake of us all. It was a nod to an expression of a life lived in service of others. And they drank from every single level of that cup. They drank from every level of that cup. They were willing to drink from the cup and they were killed years later for the cause of the gospel. Come on. Thanks for the promotion, mum. Got me killed. Right? See, these boys were killed for the faith later on, just like Jesus. When I read about people like them, I thank God for all the people, all the men and all the women throughout history, and especially in early church history, that died to make sure that you and me could hear this great story, this great gospel of the peace of God. Amen. I get thankful for people that died so we could know peace. People that died so that we would know the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. People that died so we could receive this message of hope, that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've said, there's hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. But then these days, some people go to other churches and complain because the usher asked them to move two seats in so someone else could hear the gospel. People died so we could hear the gospel. But then some people can't even move two seats in to inconvenience themselves enough to let two more people hear the gospel. Pastor Jesse, that wasn't nice. Not talking about you. Talking about other people in other churches. Come on. But don't worry, my message today isn't about martyrdom. Just started there. We're going to land somewhere else. Jesus actually goes on to tell them all that the cup is also about being willing to live a life in service to others and in service to God. If you want to be great, it's going to come from being a servant, he says. So the title of today's message, you guessed it, super simple, how to become great. Whoever wants to become great among you must first be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come only to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for you and for me and for many. Now, while I doubt any of us are ever going to have to die for Jesus, right? Like, I thank God that the majority of that period is over. Maybe one day things might change again, but praise God we live in a time where most of us are not going to have to die for Jesus, right? But we got to be willing to live for him, right? Can we at least live for him? Hallelujah. Let's live for the gospel. We're all called to live for Jesus. Let's go back to that key scripture for a minute. Let's talk about how to be great. Now, it's okay to want to be great at something, yeah? Anyone want to be great at something? Yeah? We got people in this church who own coffee shops. You want to sell great coffee? You want to be a great coffee shop owner, right? Come on. It's okay to want to do something great. It's not prideful. In fact, Jesus would have said, if any of you want to be great, stop it. That's pride. But instead, he said you need to serve each other. We all want to live a meaningful right, yeah? Hands up if you want to live a meaningful life, yeah? Look at your neighbor if they didn't put their hand up and go, really? Anyone want to be great at something? Anyone want to leave a legacy so that after you die, people aren't like, well, glad they're gone, right? Well, that is a legacy, I guess. Not the one you want. Anyone want to leave a great legacy so that after you're gone, that years later, somebody is saying, thank God that Paul DeYarmond shared the message of the gospel with my granddad so that my granddad could raise my dad in the house of God so that my dad could raise me in the house of God. Amen. Does anybody want to leave a legacy? Yeah? Does anybody want to be a great boss? Some of us. Anyone want to be a great mom? A great dad? Anyone want to attend a great church? You already do, so quit it. All right, come on. Anyone want to help make their church greater? Yes. So what's the key to doing something great? I love it in the Bible. People say, God, I want this. And God's like, well, then do that. It's like every time we ask for something from God, he has an instruction for us, right? God, we want to take Jericho, march around it 7 times. For real? You want to march around it? God, I want to save my son. Put him in a river. That'll do it. God, I don't want leprosy anymore. You go jump in a river 7 times. That'll fix you. You know, I know some doctors. I don't think it will. But all right, I'll do it. God, I want to be great. Serve people. God, I want to be great. Serve people. There's a guy in our church named Ron. I call him Rathy because his last name's Rathjen, and Rathjen is just way too long for an Aussie. So I call him Rathy. I could call him Ron. That'd be even shorter, but got to give people nicknames though, right? All the staff know Ron. Ron's an absolute champion, right? Most of the Connect Group leaders in the church, they know Ron. Every single one of you is hearing about Ron right now. I love Ron. And I want to honor Ron right now by talking to you about him for a little bit. Ron had a pretty bad accident many, many years ago. He fell off a power pole and smashed his back to smithereens. The accident ruined his back. He could not work anymore. He can't work full work hours, and he can't do prolonged physical work because of it. But rather than stay home, Ron serves you. He builds things here for you. He paints things here for you. He painted the whole kids' wing last week. And you know how great of a servant he is? Last night, he was watching because they're on vacation and he's still watching church. Come on, he loves his church. And he texts me and goes, well, it was also Dennis and Christy and blah, blah, and names all these other people. I love that guy. He calls me and takes my car. He rings me up. He's like all about honor. He's like, Pastor Jesse, I want to take your car and detail it for you. So he takes my truck and he takes all the kids' Cheerios out of it. He finds every last McDonald's fry in the under the seats. Come on. He takes everything. He cleans it brand new, better than brand new every time. I get it. Maybe a week before he took it, I'm like, I need a new car. Then Ron takes it and I'm like, I've got a new car. And Paul's like, I'm a slap Ron, right? Come on. He does that for me all the time. He's a great dude. Anytime I need to drive somewhere that's more than like an hour away, Ron rings up. Hey, I'll drive you there. Why? He wants to drive me so I can get on my laptop and keep writing my sermon. He wants to drive me so I can keep making phone calls and catching up with people and seeing how people are going. He drives me so I can keep working, so I can keep serving. Come on. He's a great dude. He's a great part of this church. And the honor that he receives comes from his willingness and desire to serve others. Hundreds of people serve people here every week. I think of a guy like Josh Dole who runs a business, full-time business. But then he's here on the sound desk every week. Every week. Out at West Campus right now, probably. Think about Lauren Beatty. Works her butt off all week, but then comes here for three services every weekend at Central Campus and serves hundreds of coffees every week. Runs the team. Jesus came not only to be served, but to serve, and he's God. He's our King. He's the King of Kings, and he come to serve you. Another friend of mine owns a big business in town, and he'll tell you that he got there by living to serve others. You ask him why he wanted to be successful, he'll tell you, so he can be generous and serve the church. And the more success he has, the more he can serve. And the more he serves, the more success he has. Church, I'm telling you right now, the more you serve, the greater success you'll have. And the more success you'll have, the more you can and should serve others. And the more you can and should serve others, the more success you have. And on and on and on it goes. God, I want to be successful in my business. Then serve your staff. Don't just serve your customers, serve your staff. Serve your customers, serve people, serve, 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 serve. Touch your neighbor, say serve. Touch your other neighbor, say he's definitely talking to you. Serve. God, I want to be a great dad. God, I want to be a great husband. God, I want a great marriage. Serve your kids, serve your wife, serve your spouse. God, I want to be a great husband. Serve your wife. Ladies, this is where you cheer. Make some noise. You don't know my wife. You don't know my God. You don't know my boss. Well, you don't know my God then. Because if you do what God says, God will do what he says. And if you serve, you will be greater. If you serve, you'll be promoted. Come on. Ladies, I want to be a great mom. Serve your kids. I want to be a great wife. Serve your husband. Is there any men in here brave enough to cheer at that? Like one. And he's only been married 3 weeks. That makes sense. Kids, you want to be great kids? Serve your mum. Serve your dad. You want to be a great sibling, a great brother, a great sister? Serve your siblings. You want to be a great person? Serve people. You want to be a great Christian? Serve people. You want to be a great neighbor? Serve your neighbors. You know, even if you have a terrible personality, people love people who serve people. Right? But I'm just kidding. You know, God made your personality. It's not terrible. God made you just fine. You're perfect. Come on. God didn't make any trash. Now, some of us, our personalities have been hindered along the way by things that have happened to us. That's not your fault, but it is up to you now to take it to God and say, God, set me free from this. Come on. But there's no people with terrible personalities in this room. I've met a lot of you, and you're all awesome. You're all awesome. We're all on a journey, amen? But if you want to be a great neighbor, serve your neighbors. Last year, when there was a snowstorm, and then a snowstorm, and then a snowstorm, and then a snowstorm, and then a snowstorm, and if you think I'm done, I'm not. And then another freaking snowstorm. And then another freaking snowstorm. So much snow. Good grief. I was outside, snow blowing again, or snow plowing, whatever that's called. Again. 700 meters of snow. Now, y'all don't do the metric system. You do that other system that makes zero sense at all. But just trust me, it was 700 meters of snow. So I do my driveway, and then I go across the street, and I do one of my neighbor's driveway, because I knew that they needed some help with that this week. But then I'm like, man, how rude. I done my driveway, then I walked past someone else's driveway and did their driveway. So I'm like, all right, I'll do their driveway too. And then I'm like, well, this is just getting ruder. So I did their driveway too. And then I did their driveway too. I didn't do the one person that none of us like, though. No, I'm just kidding. There's not a person in our cul-de-sac like that. Just wanted to see if you'd all judge me. And you totally did, right? And then I did the next one. I did like 5 or 6 driveways. Like 4 hours later, I'm tired. I got stuck there. But you know what? It's hard for your neighbor to hate you when you serve them. You want to be great? Serve. You want people to appreciate and be glad that they live next door to you? It's not just going to happen because you're there and you're pretty. No, you got to serve people. Amen? Mark shows us that Jesus wants us to serve everyone. And Matthew shows us that Jesus was also being very specific and saying that we should serve each other in the church. If anyone wants to be great among you, it's like he's talking to you as the church right now and saying, hey, y'all, if anyone wants to be great among you, they must first serve you. He's talking about you. Want to have a great kingdom impact? The key is to serve each other here. Amen. Want to be a wise steward of what other people died to give us? Serve each other. So here's some keys I'm going to give you about what it looks like to serve others at church. And the first one is this. Touch a neighbor and say, everyone is called to serve. Oh, don't say it like it's bad news. Touch your other neighbor and say, everyone's called to serve. I saw you say nothing, Matt. He's talking about all y'all. We're all called to serve each other. We're all part of the body. God designed the church. Scripture talks about it with like a vine. He talks about it like a body with arms, head, eyes, ears, feet, legs, everything. God designed you. God chose to put you here in this church, and he had a role in mind for you. Amen. What a neat thing to think about when God created you. Let us make mankind in our image, and he thought of you, and at the same time he thought of us, and he put a spot there right for you with your name on it in this church. But it didn't end there. He gave you certain qualities, passions, desires that make sure that you're useful here. The church works best when everyone is being served. And the church works best when everyone is released to serve. Amen. So that safety team members aren't on safety team. every single service. Each of us have a role to play, a God-ordained role to play. Not a, hey, we want free labor out of you. No, but a, hey, God prepared good things in advance for you to do, and we want to give you the opportunity to feel the fulfillment that comes from operating in the position that God created for you. Hallelujah. Each of us have a God-ordained role to play, and that leads me nicely into my next point. Everyone here is qualified to serve. Everyone here is qualified to serve. It's not my job, it's not our job to qualify you, because He has qualified you, amen. It's our job to equip you. It's our job to release you, amen. The church, this church is not a church that sits around a table deciding if somebody's worthy of serving here. We don't do that. Do you love Jesus? Come on, do you love Jesus? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? He has qualified you. There are no useless people in this room. There are no useless people in this church. The world may see your sin and say that you've made mistakes and you're unqualified. They may see the things that you said and say that you're unqualified, but God looks at you and says, qualified. They may have done A, B, and C, but Jesus. They may have cheated on their tax return, but Jesus. They may have lied about being sick to get that day off, but Jesus. They may have stepped out of their marriage, but Jesus. Now, every time I say things like this in church, someone always emails me or questions me or asks me, are there no hurdles here? And I say, your qualification to serve doesn't come from making it over any hurdles. It comes from running in the right direction. Come on. Come on, listen up. Your qualification to serve here doesn't come from clearing all the hurdles. It comes from running in the right direction. Yes, you'll hit a few. Yes, you'll fall over. But get up and run. Get up and run again, amen. Now, Scripture does put some guideposts up for people who we should allow to be leaders, and we follow them. Now, we don't hold people back. We look at them and say, let us help you grow and run toward those too, so that you can become the leader that God has designed you to be. But Jesus' death on the cross has automatically qualified you to serve. You're qualified. You're qualified. Come on. The death on the cross says you're qualified to serve, you're qualified to be here, you're qualified to worship here, you're qualified to stand in the presence of God here, you're qualified to love people here, you're qualified to make a coffee here, you're qualified to welcome people here, you're qualified to serve on the door here. Hallelujah, come on. You're qualified. And lastly, and very importantly, serving is an attitude. Come on. Serving like Jesus is an attitude. It's not just showing up. By the way, it is showing up, but attitude makes you show up on time. Right? See, we got to care about people. If we care about people, we're going to get to the door early enough to make sure we actually greet people. Yeah? Like, I'm a greeter. I come at 5 past... No, we don't have a service at 9 anymore. I come at 5 past 9:30. Also known as 9:35. Yeah. The English language is tough for me. Serving is also an attitude. Scripture says never tire of doing good, especially to those who believe with you. Never tire of doing good, especially to those who believe with you. That's what it says. When it comes to serving others, getting tired is a choice. We choose to serve. We choose to love. We choose to continue in it. We choose to have a happy and a healthy attitude. We choose to be on time. We choose to actually have a face that knows we're saved when we're welcoming people to church. Welcome to church. No, welcome to church. Best day of your life. Come on. I love our kids' ministry volunteers here at Eternity Church. We love our kids. Let's honor all the kids' workers right here, all the kids' volunteers. We love kids, and that's why we put on big carnivals every year. That's why we're always investing into the kids ministry at Central Campus and at West Campus. It's why we have security cameras everywhere in the building so that we can make sure your kids are safe, amen. It's why we pay for Clive and Adele, PD, to be at every service that we run here and there. It's why every worker has a background check, a federal background check. It's why if you don't have your sticker, you have to wait till last so we know it's your kid. Come on. Your kids are valuable to us. In fact, we're going to raise a bunch of money, I believe, in Big November so we can just pump more finance and more resource into having the greatest kids ministry that the Midwest has ever seen. But I was talking to some pastor friends online about how here at Eternity, we're going to launch t-shirts for kids workers in a couple of weeks and how we want t-shirts to be worn by every worker, every kids volunteer, so that new families can clearly identify leaders in the kids room so they can walk away feeling safer that there are enough leaders in the kids room to keep their kids safe, right? Simple thing, not complicated. But my mates were like, we tried that, we had a revolt, don't do it, they hate that. And I was like, well, number one, they'll be sweet shirts. And number two, we won't have that problem at Eternity Church. Because seriously, who wouldn't be willing to wear a t-shirt so that a new family's experience at Eternity can be the best it can be so that they can hear the gospel? People died so we could hear the gospel. Who wouldn't be willing to wear a t-shirt so people can hear the gospel? Because serving is more about attitude than it is about aptitude. I'll say that again. Serving is more about attitude than it is about aptitude. Amen. We were talking with our staff this week about how the skills will often come after the hard work. It's the same with serving. Have the right attitude and the rest will follow. But most importantly about serving, like, it helps us care for each other, it helps us love each other, it helps us step in, it helps you step into greater levels of success and promotion in your life as you put other people first, as you serve other people. But most importantly, it's how the world will know that we are His disciples. It's by our love for one another. When people walk in and they see the way you love each other and they see the way you're willing to serve each other, every race serving every race, men and women serving men and women, people registered to opposing political parties serving each other, a cafe full of volunteers smiling as they give away hundreds of free lattes every week, when they see youth out the front saying welcome to church, when they see older people saying welcome to church, they know that the presence of God is in this place. And they give glory to God. That's why I'm here. I'm here to serve you. That's why I'm here. It's also how I got here. It's also how I get to stay here. You don't serve your way into a position and stop serving. You serve, 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 and then you keep serving. Hallelujah. You'll find greatness in serving each other. That's how you're gonna be a great dad. That's how you're gonna be a great husband. That's how you're going to be a great wife. That's how you're going to be a great mom. That's how you're going to be a great employee. It's time we stop going to work for a paycheck and we start going to work to serve. Why do you work here? For the money. Why do you work here? To serve. To serve. And then God will take care of me. Hallelujah. Come on, would you all stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise if you receive all that? Come on, even if you've got a bad boss, come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. You're like, I hate my boss, and God's like, I hate your attitude, but I love you. Serve, serve, serve. Someone say serve. Serve. If you're new here or if you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I want to tell you, if you give your life to Jesus, it's going to transform your life. Too many people are living with shame of things that they've done wrong. Hey, we don't even want you to feel ashamed if you've never served anybody. We want you to feel inspired to start doing that, amen? We're not here for shame. We don't do shame. Our church is on a mission to eradicate shame in Jesus' name. So if you've been living in shame, or if you've been living in fear of your past mistakes catching up to you, if you've been living a life without Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, I want you to make a decision today to let that change. A decision today to start following Jesus and invite Him into your life. If you do that, today He's going to forgive all of your sin. And He's going to get to work to just smash that shame off your life. Shame of things you did, or the shame of things that other people did to you or around you that infected you. I don't want you to live in that anymore. I don't want you to carry that kind of shame anymore. I hope you just pray this prayer with me in a minute and give your life to Jesus Christ and start living in the freedom, start living in the hope, the peace, the joy, and the blessing that God designed for each and every one of you. All you got to do is say, God, I'm stepping out of that and I'm stepping into what You designed for my life. And I promise you, life is better with Jesus Christ in your life. Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. So we're all going to pray this prayer together. We're going to believe in our hearts. We're going to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. So everyone in the room is going to pray it so that you're not alone. So if it's your first time today, you won't be alone. We're all going to pray it together. But if you don't know Jesus, or if you've walked away from Jesus, and today you want to come back to Jesus, you want to give your life to Jesus, this is how we do it. Pray this prayer with me, one line at a time. Everybody in the room, let's repeat after me. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive Your forgiveness. And I receive this new life with You as my Lord and my Savior. Would You help me to live it the way You designed it, just for me? In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer today, there's three things I want you to do. Three things that'll help you live a blessed life. The first one is, tell somebody what you did today. Take a step of faith and say to somebody, I gave my life to Jesus Christ today. That first step of faith, it's tough, but it'll bless you and give you the confidence that you need to chase after everything that God's got for you for the rest of your life. Do that by telling the person that you came with, the person you're standing next to. Tell someone at the Connection Lounge out there, or get on Facebook and Instagram. Check in at Eternity Church and say, I gave my life to Jesus. It's going to be blessed. Watch this. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to tell us as a church. I want you to do that by texting the word SAVE to the number 25827. It's on the screen behind me. The word SAVE to the number 25827. If you do that, you'll receive in the mail this week, you'll receive a Bible. You'll receive a worship CD like the worship that we sing here at Eternity Church. And you'll also receive a gift card to a local coffee shop. Do that this week. Text that number now, in fact, so that we can bless you with those gifts. We know they'll bless your life. The Bible, absolutely going to transform your life. Worship, absolutely going to transform your life. And a coffee, absolutely going to bless your life. Come on. So do that today. The last thing is, I want you to tell me. So in a moment, everyone's going to close their eyes. I'm going to count to three. Then I want you to lift up your hand to tell me that you prayed that prayer today. Do that so that I can pray for you. So if everyone in the room can close their eyes, every single person from the front to the back, from the right to the left. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, you'd walked away but you're coming back to the Lord today. Either way, I want to pray for you. So right now, while nobody's looking around, I'm going to count to three and then I want you to lift up your hand. You won't be alone. 20 to 40 people do this over our four services every single week. So right now, on the count of three, lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up your hands all over this place. I see that hand and that hand. I see that hand and that hand and that hand. That's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Anyone else? Just lift up your hand if that's you. Nine. Anybody else? Just lift up your hand. Awesome. You can put your hand down. And now I want everybody in the room to reach out your hands in faith as we pray for these 9 people that God would bless them. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for trusting us at Eternity Church to welcome these 9 people into your family. God, help us to help them become all that you designed them to be. God, I pray that you would just remove the shame and the pain and the hurt of their past. Self-inflicted or done to them. Either way, God, I thank you that you love them and you remove it and you're here to heal them. God, I pray you set them free of any chains that have been holding them down, holding them back, any addictions, any hurts, any fears. Break it off their lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. And flood their hearts and their minds with hope, everlasting joy, and peace that doesn't even make sense in the circumstances. God, just begin to speak to them about how to run their lives toward all that you've got for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give the Lord a shout of praise? Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Text the word SAVE to 25827. If you want to serve here at Eternity Church, text E101 to 25827. Go talk at the Connection Lounge. Go talk at the info desk. We want to help you step into all that God has designed you to be. Amen. Hey, church, let's be a church that serves people all week. Remember, the key to being promoted, the key to being great in any situation or circumstance of your life is to serve others. Hey, if you receive that word, give the Lord a shout of praise. The front is open for prayer. If you need a miracle in your life, come on down. We got a team of people waiting to pray for you down the front here. God bless you. Let's continue to worship.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.